Welcome to the IPX True North Podcast, where we connect people, processes, and tools. I'm your host, Chris Anderson.
This is part one of our conversation about model-based enterprise between John Haller, the product marketing manager for Vertex, and Max Gravel, the director of model-based enterprise for IPX.
Brief background for me, yes, I work in product marketing here at Vertex Software, which is a 3D visualization platform that we provide servicing the manufacturing industry in particularly. But prior to joining Vertex, had a couple of different roles, one with an aerospace company headquartered actually in Europe, and I worked at that company in a variety of different roles, starting in engineering. Then moved into kind of a liaison that would facilitate issue resolution between engineering designs and different things that would come up on the manufacturing floor that didn't necessarily work out as the way the engineer perhaps intended it to. Then moved into kind of business option development and the customer facing side with this company. Then had the opportunity to move back to Iowa, or move up to Iowa actually, where my wife is from, and joined a company that's a tier one supplier to off-highway mobile industry OEMs. And again, held a couple different roles in product development, procurement, and then in product marketing for that company as well. So have a lot of interesting anecdotes to share from that time in those industries. And when I found Vertex and what they were doing within the industry, I was very excited to join, and also learning more about what IPX does as well. I think there's a lot of good synergy. So glad to be here today.
Thank you for John to agree to join us today to discuss. As you'll see from my background, we have a lot of similarity in the background, different roles, but similar industry. So right now, my position is the director of model-based enterprise with the IPX. Mainly, I do services and training with many different companies. My expertise is model-based. We are a lot of time looking at processes and enterprise processes with the service. My background, where I came from, how I came about to be a model-based director is a long series of events. But my background is about 20 years in aerospace. I started straight out of school as an engineer, as a system engineer. I did some design back in 2000, actually, with wind tunnel, with the whole Innovia in 3D. So I started designing in 3D without drawing back in 2000. Moved to system engineering for many years at an OEM in Montreal. And I moved after that. I moved to Savannah, Georgia. I became a system integration engineer. The beauty with that was that the company was around 2006. I was lucky enough, they started in a journey of model-based, 3D model-based design only, no drawing. So I've been evolving for about 15 years. I moved from system engineer to configuration manager with a group at the corporate level, tried to standardize and all the process around design and production change process, but a lot of it, my experience is managing 3D CAD data. So in a nutshell, this is my story.
Awesome. Thank you guys for sharing. And so you guys collaborate within your companies with the MBE, with the model-based enterprise. So what does that kind of look like, John, that kind of teamwork collaboration?
Yeah, absolutely. The one thing that I've always appreciated about IPX is really their focus on process, configuration management, integrity of data, integrity of processes, and really having the quality focus forefront with a lot of their business models and what they're doing in the industry. Certainly a lot of that fits well with Vertex does, as Vertex, you know, with our visualization platform, is a perfect fit to help companies build out their processes, connect the enterprise in a way that streamlines those processes and improves the quality of the event. And so that's why we always look for great opportunities to get together with IPX and chit-chat and bounce ideas off of each other and discuss how we can really move the industry forward in this area.
Awesome. That's fantastic. And so I guess to before we really dig into model-based enterprise, there might be some people who don't necessarily know what that is. Could you explain what model-based enterprise is for those who don't?
Well, I'd like to, if you allow me, John.
Absolutely.
Start with that. That acronym of MBE today, that three-letter acronym, has many, if you look in the dictionary, there's many, many, many definitions of it, many contexts of it. For me, in a very simple way, I've been working with the ASME framework for about a year, and these are the questions that we're trying to address. What is and what's not MBE? After my 15, 20 years, I would like to say that MBE is an enterprise that uses some model to do some work or to communicate some information across the ecosystem. So now what is MBE and not? It all depends on your perspective. So let me just, if some people say MBE stands for model-based engineering, what they'll see is they'll be very focused on the engineering portion and investing on 3D model. Mm-hmm. Some other people talk about model-based enterprise. This is where people start to look at model-based enterprise in a way where now the model, right? We want to use that model. We'll talk about 3D CAD, but as you understand, it depends on your industry. If you're very process-centric, like the pharmaceutical recipe, your model base is really model-based process. But for today, we'll talk about product. So the model base is three weekly, the CAD and the physics model. These groups start to see it as a way to communicate the 3D model across the enterprise with change process. The last one that I see is, I don't think it's heard a lot, but model-based ecosystem. This is another layer, and I've been through all these steps, but the next layer is not only you use that model to make decision, like a make decision could be a physics model for AI, for instance. You can have algorithms that make decision on your process or to transmit information like a 3D CAD. And now the question is ecosystem is you want to take this information and bring it outside of your company. Customer, supplier. The best example I can say from a simple perspective is a couple of months back, I bought a grill and I had a big 20-page book about instruction, but on the instruction, there was a little QR code. I put my phone on it and there's suddenly a nice 3D model about how to install the grill. So it's an application of model-based ecosystem to me where you take this powerful data and you try to leverage it to everyone. So in a nutshell, this is what model-based enterprise is to me. And John, I don't know what you hear, but you're going to hear as many definition and constants as their company today. There's not a uniform standard, if you wish, working with SME that currently there's not a standardized definition of this.
Right. Yeah. There seems to be a lot of different ways organizations take this when they think about model-based enterprise. And honestly, Max, I'd like to circle back to maybe a comment you made, you know, with a model-based enterprise being focused on the product itself. Yes. And certainly we have companies that have like a pharmaceutical might have a process and their product is, you know, can't be modeled for per se, but certainly there's opportunity perhaps even within those processes to exhibit model-based enterprises and being able to visualize certain factory assets.
Yes.
And so it's even in this discussion that we're bringing up, it just points to the fact that there's, you know, a lot of different ways people can take these model-based enterprise definitions and run with them. One of the things I always hear too, you know, there, we talk about steps and curious to know what your thoughts are on this to getting into a model-based enterprise is first establishing a model-based definition. And then when an organization thinks, oh, I need to establish a model-based definition, perhaps maybe a digital twin comes to mind and they start, you know, reading up on digital twins, they might research a little bit, and then all of a sudden they're directed into an area where it looks like, you know, somebody's calling a digital twin, perhaps a dashboard of, you know, a bar chart or a scatter plot of, you know, data that's coming in. And that perhaps is also a misconception about what a model-based definition enterprise digital twin could be in their journey on this, what oftentimes companies like to paraphrase it as sort of their digital transformation journey. But I don't know if you get this a lot as well. When we think about model-based definition and digital twins, a lot of individuals, like the first image that pops to mind is a jet engine with data. I think, you know, you go out and you Google digital twin or model-based definition, and the first thing that pops up is a jet engine.
Yes, a lot of initial effort were started in aerospace, as you know, with the investment in the tool. But you're right. Another concept is you're going to hear a lot of buzzword: digital thread, right. Digital twin. And to me, after all these years, like you mentioned, the digital twin is a way to represent a product, your outcome, your deliverable in a digital way. To me, the twin typically exists more when you have a product, like my grill example. The twin is there. The digital thread, to me, is more connecting. It's just able to have with the 3D data, with your visual, which some people call, you know, your visual of your 3D model, you start to add information to that visual. So as you look at something, you may get information on cost, information on warranty, right. Other information on maintenance. So to me, the concept of thread and all that is just to be able to slowly start, to me, a lot of what we see is start to use with a model that is the most value to your company. And a lot of times on product, it's the design, and slowly augment or enrich that model with other information where you start to have a true model-based enterprise where the model is used to as the source to communicate information across the enterprise. And one of the problems, John, and as you know, I think this is what I really like with Vertex. One of the things is that back when I started in 2006, in order to view that model, you know, you had to be trained. You had to have the big workstation. And a lot of people just did not have access to the software or had the capability to open and rotate. But with company like Vertex now, there's a way to take these complex models and make them neutral and light so the people, and you can explain how your system works, but just take that real complex, deep model that has a lot of information and take a representation very simple that a lot of people can view, spin, and so on without, if I'm not mistaken, without needing, you can do it on your phone.
Exactly.
So if you want to expand on that, John, this is a very important, you got to be able to decimate that information.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and that's a key tenet to a model-based enterprise is really having that information available throughout the enterprise and not with just engineering. You know, you made comment as to one of the interpretations of model-based or MBE being model-based engineering or model-based for engineering. And that, I think, is if you're asking me what the number one misconception when it comes to model-based, you know, MBX, let's just call it model-based engineering, model-based definition, is really this misconception that it's all about engineering and that all of that information resides in engineering. They're the ones that developed it. They're the ones that have been enabled from a technology standpoint to work in that model-based environment and to be able to do their jobs. And again, whether companies realize it, I think some companies do realize it, and they've started this digital transformation journey where they want to understand how do we get the model out of engineering, how do we get the 3D product data out of engineering to influence all of our processes downstream and manufacturing and service and sales and warranty, all of these other areas, supply chain perhaps as well. And it really has to start with, you know, kind of a mindset change that processes need and must include everyone in the enterprise, and to look for those technologies that support being able to disseminate that information and connect it to various data sources throughout the enterprise as well.
And if I want to touch back one more point, I like what you said about misconception and what I get to see now. I experience it myself, but also I see it with company is the a lot of times there's a lot of investment and efforts put, I would like to call the left-hand side of the V model, you know, that side of the definition. Mm-hmm. And there's an impression that, oh, yeah, we are a model-based enterprise. We have all these 3D model. But as soon as you pass the model to manufacturing or you want to go to your supply chain, guess what? This model is translated into a drawing, a piece of paper, an email. So an important thing about model-based enterprise is, and that's what we preach with the CM2 at Enterprise, you want to make sure that the source of truth, you spend so much energy that you define that source of truth and you make sure that everybody has access to the same source of truth. Because as you will know, the telephone game, how many times in my life I've seen where, especially in a change process, right? A good example is a change process where there's a nice new model and the model is made. And after that, everybody reviews and the company through PowerPoint. But in the meantime, in these email, some people provided feedback to the designer back. The model has iterated two or three times. And at the end of the day, people are reviewing something that's completely obsolete, not knowing that it's obsolete. So I also think that your software Vertex can help with this. I know we talked about it, the story of the model. Explain on that, John. This is very interesting because to me, from a process perspective, it's very important. It allows everybody to see the same source of data, comment on the same source of data. And if the model change, you want to make sure that everybody that has the visual of that model is also aware that they're all looking at the right same thing. So much resource are lost because we're not looking at the right source of truth.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, I think you and I touched on this in the blog that we co-wrote and worked together on. You know, I can remember very vividly in the company I was with prior to joining Vertex being involved from a marketing standpoint in the change management process. And we had a very outdated process and tools for doing this. And, you know, and I think this is fairly common across most organizations, everyone outside of engineering, when it comes to being able to ingest the 3D product data is extremely challenged, mostly because you just get issued standard hardware, a basic CPU, perhaps with no not much software loaded to be able to ingest 3D data and do anything with it in a way that's meaningful and constructive. And so as being part of that change management process, you know, I think I always struggled to adequately evaluate the ask and to be able to reach out to the customer base with the right amount of data to be able to get feedback and then feed that data back into the change management process in a way that, number one, provided the quality response that the team was looking for and then kept the process moving in a timely manner. But certainly when we think about Vertex, you know, Vertex really at its core is a 3D visualization platform. We take the aspects of our platform, which is really the ability to be able to free that 3D product data off of your PLM, your CAD systems, and being able to provide that visual literally in any type of business workflow or tool that you can imagine. Think, for instance, work instructions. Think, for example, a CPQ tool. But that's, I would say, what we would provide from a platform standpoint to enable companies to embed visuals in all of their workflows. If we're looking for a very prepackaged way of doing it, we've developed sort of a what we call as our Connect solution, which is exactly what you were referencing to. It enables teams to be able to put together stories around a 3D model and share that out to anyone on any device, mobile. No need for any software downloads, no need to have any special requirements to be able to view it. A simple login username will suffice, as we're a web browser enabled login there. So definitely a lot of different solutions, but certainly at the core of it, we want to help companies and partner with companies like you to help them understand data doesn't have to be just locked down in engineering, and it can be used to improve your processes throughout the entire enterprise, not just engineering.
Yeah, and from the CM perspective, is the more data transformation, the more data transformation you do, where you go from a model back to a paper, back to digital, mm-hmm. back, every time that you do transformation, there's always a risk of losing data integrity. This is the whole telephone game. And how many times we see that? And the worst case is people lose visibility of what is the source of truth. And this is a, to me, model-based is really about making sure that we will define using 3D model. It has to be broadcast to everybody. This is the source of truth. Mm-hmm. This is what everybody need to look at. And it's always amazing to me, compare, if you look at a drawing or a PowerPoint, when we had discussion back in my company back in 2006, we didn't have any drawings. So we say we have to be able to do meetings with 3D model. The problem is we needed these special conference rooms, create that product.
Right.
And we would, you know, we would have a very, it was very intensive in terms of equipment. And as we brought the WebEx on top of that, or the media, social media, as you know, this would tag the system, and we would actually have a very, the choppy, which nowadays, and I'm very surprised still today, John, that when I do conference call with that video call with customer, and you look at different companies, still people are digital, and they're still most of the time talking on PowerPoint. Microsoft is an amazing system, but the technology today is there to have that very light visual and turn it around. How many times you look at a PowerPoint? The problem with that, from my experience, is you show what you want. You can hide stuff, and sometimes you wish to turn around and you say, can you give me another screenshot, right?
Right.
I'll be back, and 2 days later or later on, you get another angle. With the model, the beauty with it, what you realize is just, to me, a model is worth 1,000 pages of paper because you can spin it, you can look at it from an angle, and as you see these models, a lot of times, it conveys a lot more information, especially from look or from aesthetic or from accessibility, all kinds of things that even the best drawing reader is very difficult to get. So to me, it's the most powerful way to convey a lot of information fast, like you mentioned, without language, right? You don't have to speak a language.
Yep.
You look at it. So I'm still surprised of how little people are using the visual just for their meeting, for their discussion. But I hope this trend's going to change, and I challenge the enterprise, the companies, to start to use that as a tool to communicate better, change faster, and make better decisions at the end of the day. In my
opinion. Yeah, absolutely, and I really do believe a lot of companies want to do that. I've heard of a lot of companies actually starting this digital transformation journey They know the importance of getting 3D out to the organization, but they go to implement these projects and they realize, wow, I'm not set up from an infrastructure standpoint to be able to get a true digital twin out to the shop floor, out to service, to enable my sales team, to help my engineering and product development teams to innovate in a better way. And then so they get bogged down, and it all comes back to it's the data and this 3D product data being tied to your IT systems of record to impact all of these processes in these is where a lot of companies fall short.
Yeah, I would agree to me in terms of starting the journey. The thing that I see is what I just mentioned. First, you got to understand who you are. Where's the value? Are you a product centric where the definition is key? Are you a process centric where you're going to look for a different model? But on top of that is, to me, every business is different. Some companies, you got to understand where is the value, where is the gap. A lot of companies are focusing, which is not wrong, on using the model to automate the manufacturing process, right? Mm-hmm. There's way now to use model to automate PMI, QIF, which exactly. is a game. But to me, my experience, this is certainly an advantage, less transformation of data, less error. But to me, with the journey we went with my previous company, what really we realize is that there's so much more potential with the service, with the customer. I remember we had customers mm-hmm. that would do fly through in a virtual to translate so much information. So I want to make sure company understand it's not just about using the model to help with the manufacturing process. It certainly is.
Absolutely.
There's so much more opportunity to share that 3D data. And once the people will start to see the model, mm-hmm. have access to them, and that's the problem, we got to let the model out, let them see it. And once you see people right off from my experience say, oh my gosh, I wish if I could add this data now, I understand better. So it's kind of a cascading effect. You got to put it out there. Don't make it too complex. Make it simple. Put the model in a form that 90% of the people is the information they need. And from there, people get creative and find all kinds of ways to leverage that model. That it's hard to, you cannot plan for all that, but the thing is, let it out of engineering. To me, this was the real catalyst of the benefit of using 3D model from my experience.
Yep.
That's my short story.
Mm-hmm. So with that, so we're talking about just being able to take the visual 3D, connect it throughout the whole kind of organization, the whole kind of enterprise, right? And so with that, data is obviously much more than numbers. So what can be done to start connecting it even more within the enterprise?
Well, I'd like to first jump out with, I've sat in on a couple of virtual conferences over the last 4 or 5 months, and it seems like the topic of data is forefront and consumes about the entire conference. And more often than not, these conversations eventually boil down to the fact that data is important. We want to connect the enterprise, but I've heard data being referred to as being too viscous. It's this big blob that is slow to move through the organization. It's difficult, requires a lot of inertia behind it to get this data, 3D product data, out to the enterprise. And so I think, as I mentioned here a little while ago, many companies who've started their digital transformation journey want to take advantage of these various initiatives, whether it's around a CPQ tool, configure price quote, or whether it's around some service parts tool that can be used to better service customers. They get into it, and then they realize that this data is this big blob, this 3D product data, and it's too viscous to move. And I don't know, Max, if you've heard that mentioned in any of the conversations and the struggle that companies have who want to connect the enterprise is that they feel that the data is too viscous. It takes too much effort and it's too difficult. It's this big blob and it can't be moved very easily.
Well, I have not heard the expression too viscous, but I, from my experience, I did hear the problem is with the light viewable, right? The format, the authoring format, the CAD. If you need to consume the data in the CAD, it is very rigid because you need all these license access and that training. To me, once the data is outside of the CAD or in a format that is easily viewable to me, I have not heard viscous. The only thing that I want to say is the goal of a model is nothing else than using data to create information, right? So what I see sometimes is there's companies that are trying to do too much with the model. You know, they try to make so much and keep adding more and more information in a 3D CAD. To me, 3D CAD is there for shapes. It's to help understand shapes. And the point where you start to put too much in this model, you get some problem with conversion, right? A lot of it, the viewable, and you lose information. So I think it's a balance of, it becomes very rigid and monolithic. It all depends how much you put into it and how much information, what your standards are. But you want to make sure that a subset, at least the geometry, is easily exported in a neutral format.
Part two of this episode is coming next week, so stay tuned. Don't forget to subscribe and review the show. And for more information on IPX, visit ipxhq.com.